When I was growing up, the only way I ever ate cabbage was shredded and drowned in creamy dressing. But there is a lot more to this leafy green than coleslaw and sauerkraut. For starters, when you have a head of cabbage, that's a lot of food to work with. And with proper care and some creativity, the flavor possibilities are extraordinary. I'm Charity Nebbe. On this episode of Iowa Ingredient, we'll visit Morning Glory Farm in Mount Vernon, where unique and beautiful cabbage is grown. Then Chef Julie Shaner from Soho American Kitchen in Sioux City will join us in the kitchen to put a creative twist on some recipes using cabbage. All that and more coming up next on Iowa Ingredient.
Funding for Iowa Ingredient is provided by the W.T. and Edna M. Dahl Trust, Chef Lisa Laval of Trellis Cafe and the River Center, and Chef Michael Laval of the Des Moines Embassy Club. For more than 100 years, the Des Moines Embassy Club has provided a place to dine, celebrate, and do business, located in downtown Des Moines and in West Des Moines. And the Friends of Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Pickled, steamed, stewed, sautéed, and of course raw, cabbage can be prepared in countless ways. In medieval times, it was a staple in European diets, largely because of its nutritional content. And today, it's making a comeback in specialty recipes, in pickling, and as the star of salads. It's nutritious, it's delicious, and it's certainly worth considering in your culinary endeavors. Cannonball, bok choy, red drumball, caraflex, napa. This eclectic collection of names is just a small sampling of the varieties of cabbage growing today. Not only do they vary in taste, but they range in color, size, and shape. As you visit farmers markets, cabbage might end up being as much of a conversation piece as it is a vegetable.
It's really funny. People are like, I've never seen cabbage like that before, and oh, that's so cute, and you know, definitely is different than a head of cabbage you're going to buy at the grocery store.
Donna Warhover is a cabbage-growing aficionado. This master gardener helps supply her area with a wide variety of fresh produce through local farmers markets and her CSA.
This Caraflex cabbage is forming a beautiful head in there. The outside leaves show some damage, but that's a beautiful head of cabbage.
Her philosophy is simple. Grow the best tasting and the best looking food for the community.
I've just met so many people that are taking a risk and following their passion and contributing to our small communities in really big ways. And that's been really rewarding for me.
It's mid-July, and today is one of the last days of harvest for her spring cabbage crop. Armed with a front-edged knife and a large basket, Donna makes short work of this row.
Cabbage are so easy to harvest, and then once you get them harvested, see, there's not a lot you have to do to them. They got their own little wrapper on them. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? So these will all go to market in the morning.
For a leafy green, cabbage stores remarkably well.
I'll be growing some of the storage varieties when they are harvested, they can be stored for several months. People can be enjoying their fresh produce well into the winter.
Its densely packed head produces a lot of food. Best of all, it's easy to grow in the Midwest and does especially well in fertile soils like Iowa's. Follow a few steps, and planting your own cabbage can reward you with quite a bounty.
So cabbage is best grown in cool temperatures. It likes a cool soil temperature, so that's one of the first crops that go in. By about July, it's time to get them all out, because if they're not already, they're going to start bolting. And then you can start again in the fall. So right now, while we're harvesting all of the ones that have been planted early spring, I've got new cabbage plants in the greenhouse getting ready to be planted for a fall harvest.
But you can use it for whatever you'd like. It's really great because it has good big leaves to use for like cabbage rolls or wraps. It's great raw in slaws. So pretty much whatever you would do with regular cabbage, you could do with Careflex cabbage.
As Donna shows us, good things often come in nicely wrapped packages. Cabbage is no exception. From its high nutritional content to the seemingly endless ways to cook it, it certainly deserves a place in your kitchen. If you drive through it too fast, you might just miss it. But if you do miss it, you're really missing out. It's Sioux City's historic 4th Street District. This two-block area is packed full of amazing architecture. 15 commercial buildings dating from 1889 through 1915. A couple of them are on the National Register of Historic Places. These majestic beauties tower over the city streets. And housed in one of them is a restaurant where owner and chef Julie Shaner prepares high-quality homemade food. It's a neighborhood go-to spot, just like this location was in the old days.
This building used to be a butcher shop with a few groceries, and it was a neighborhood favorite. They cut their own meat. You came in, you said, hey, Jim, you know, I'll have a pound of this, and how is the lamb chops today? That kind of old school, you know, that you just don't see anymore. And I tell you, I would love to have a place like that downtown again. The name of my restaurant is Soho Kitchen and Bar. We're a family-owned restaurant. Our name comes from an eclectic neighborhood in New York City. I've been there on vacation a few times, where I used to work. Took me there a few times too on business. When I discovered what the history of our historic 4th District is in Sioux City is almost a mirror image of the Soho neighborhood in New York, I couldn't think of a better name. They were just twins.
With made from scratch dishes like chicken pot pie, bacon and egg cheeseburger, meatloaf, and bread pudding, choosing what you want to order might be the only difficult part of your visit.
Our menu is American cuisine, and I like to say it's built on America's favorites. We've got all of America's favorites, from casseroles to pizza to burgers, sandwiches, big salads like New York City, steaks, pasta, everything America eats, all on one menu, little bit of each.
Walking in, chicken chimmy, buff chick sandwich, dinner chicken pot pie, meatloaf griller, chicken chimmy, no tomato, and a lemon herb salmon.
Coming up with recipes is Test Kitchen, Test Kitchen, Test Kitchen. It's kind of a little popular blog that I'll put on Facebook every once in a while. So we just like to switch it up and give people a little bit different thing, but it's things that are not like out of their realm. It's something like, oh gosh, I remember having this at somebody else's house. I don't know how to cook it, you know?
Julie says she loves the hustle and bustle of running a restaurant. She enjoys chipping in wherever she's needed.
I'm making some Reubens.
She also likes to talk to her customers to make sure everyone is having a good experience at Soho.
That's a lot of salad, right?
Yep, it's a lot of salad with chicken and our black bean corn salsa and some chips.
With a background in banking and food service, Julie has a passion for making her restaurant and Sioux City thrive and grow. She's working hard to make a difference in her community.
Our most recent award, which just floored me, was Best Overall Restaurant in Siouxland. I think our area has 200 and something restaurants. And when I got that, seriously, I was in my office and somebody tagged something and said, congratulations, congratulations. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And so, you know, I opened it up and I looked, and seriously, I sat at my desk and got choked up and cried because I'm not originally from Sioux City. I'm a Midwestern girl, lived in Lamar's and, you know, transplanted here. And I want things to be good, and I want people to like our business and feel like, oh, they can bring anybody they want here whenever they want, and we're never going to make them look bad. Because it's my job to make you look good.
Soho Kitchen and Bar prove that looking good and tasting good can go hand in hand in Sioux City's beautiful historic 4th Street District.
And now I'm here in the kitchen with Chef Julie, and we're going to cook with cabbage. What are we going to make first today?
We're going to make a simple rustic cabbage soup.
Okay, wonderful. And this is a great dish that you can make on a busy weeknight. Only takes about a half an hour, right?
That's right. It takes about a half an hour, so you can come home from work and get it in the pot. And while you're doing a few other things with the kids, it'll be ready when you're ready.
All right. We've already got our ground beef browned over here. You can hear that sizzling away.
Alrighty.
What happens next?
We're going to start adding some aromatics, some vegetables in.
Some onions here.
Yeah, we've got one large onion.
Nice.
And to add some extra flavor, we've got some minced garlic we're going to put in.
Wonderful.
And of course, some salt and pepper.
Essential.
Essential for every cooking. About a teaspoon of salt and a half a teaspoon of pepper. Okay. We're gonna stir that around, get a good mix on it. You can smell that garlic already.
Yes, it's already smelling amazing. Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna add 2 cups of chopped carrots.
All right.
And that's what's gonna take the longest. So if you don't have a lot of time, you can leave those carrots out if you really need to.
All right. But I'm sure they're going to be delicious in the soup.
Yes, they are. And they add a lot of beautiful color to go with it as well.
All right. So we've got our ground beef mixed with the vegetables. What happens next?
Now we start adding our liquids. So we are going to add 32 ounces of beef stock.
All right.
And this you don't have to make homemade. You can get that really nice brands right in the grocery store.
Nice.
And if you want to switch that out to vegetable stock, you can do that as well. We've got 2 15-ounce cans of chopped tomato with a little minced onion in it, and we leave the juice, everything in, because after all, this is gonna be a soup.
Right, you gotta have some juice in there.
Gotta have some juice in there. Then we've also got a 15-ounce can of tomato sauce. That goes right in.
Tomato paste or tomato sauce?
Tomato sauce.
Okay. But no flavorings in that?
No flavors in that. We're gonna go back and re-season with our salt and pepper. We've got a bay leaf here as well, a couple of those.
All right.
And then we have some water on reserve.
Just in case it's
a little too thick, we can add a little bit. We can also rinse these a little if we want to do that.
Get the most out of it.
And our last additive is going to be our cabbage. So we're going to bring this up to a little bubble, which will take just a few minutes. You can put a lid on it, and that helps speed that up.
All right. Looks like we're starting to get some bubbling action in there. And so this is when you season, right?
This is when we taste and re-season. So we're going to go in. We're going to get our spoon in there.
Not burn your mouth.
Good. Right. Very good. Now we have to remember this ingredient has zero seasoning.
Right.
So we're going to add a little more seasoning once we put this in.
All right. And the cabbage, you haven't done anything to it yet.
You've just chopped it up.
You've got white and red. Why did you select...
They both have similar flavor, similar texture. Cabbage is just a great vessel to put into something to add some heartiness to it and a nice filler, low calories. So we're going to put this in.
All right.
And then we're going to re-season that. It's going to seem like a lot, but it's going to work down. But we don't want it totally mushed, so that's why we kept it in these nice cubes.
Oh, okay. So that it doesn't turn into...
I think
we've all had mushy cabbage.
Yeah, we have. I try to avoid that.
And then I'll just stir that in.
Yeah, we're going to add a little seasoning to the top of that.
Wonderful.
That's going to get right down in those crevices.
Well, and cabbage is not a super strong flavor on its own.
It's not. It needs to have something wrapped in it or coated on it, baked in it. To let you realize what it's really all about.
So with that nice mild flavor, I mean, it really lends itself to highlighting some of these other flavors, right?
It does. It does. It's going to mix right in with the onions and the garlic. And then we're going to put a lid back on it and let it kind of simmer again.
It's so pretty.
It is a beautiful soup.
Well, and with a head of cabbage, I'm always amazed when I start to chop up a head of cabbage by how much cabbage is there.
I mean, this pot is almost full.
Right. It just gives you so much to work with. You can keep it for a while, too, right?
You can. You know, that's the difference between cabbage and lettuce. Lettuce, you've got a couple of day time frame, and a head of cabbage you'll be able to keep in your fridge for a couple of weeks. And, nice. You know, you could take some off of it tonight, wrap it back up in some plastic. You can use it for a stir fry. You could take a few leaves off of it and wrap some chicken salad or something in it and work on it for a week or two.
Nice, nice. It's a great ingredient to have around. All right, so we'll let that steam until it's al dente.
Until it's al dente, about a 10-minute simmer on it, and we'll be ready to eat.
Perfect. I wish that everyone could smell this, because this smells amazing. And it's so beautiful, too, that mix of the white and the purple cabbage. Mm-hmm. That really brings a lot of color to it. The carrots are so beautiful. That's
nice
wonderful.
Nice and chunky.
And it's so fast and so simple.
Yeah, it's literally around a half an hour right now.
That's wonderful. And yeah. I can see how flexible it would be. You could do so many different things with this.
You could.
And then if it's only, let's say, two of you, you could eat it for a week.
You sure can.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right. Hold this and we'll
do the honors.
Yes. Is beautiful. Get a little juice in there. Perfect.
That looks great.
That does. That is beautiful. It's so nutritious, so simple, and so delicious. That's fantastic.
Looks great. Smells wonderful.
Yeah. Chef Julie, thank you so much. All right, we're going to do some more cooking with cabbage.
We are.
What's
this time,
next?
It's going to be a little bit more fattening, a little more decadent.
Okay, I'm on board.
All right, we're going to make a cabbage gratin, and the home cook might want to call it a scalloped cabbage.
Sure. So instead of potatoes.
Right, we're going to scallop some cabbage.
Nice. All right, how do we start?
All right, we start by blanching our cabbage, and we've got the purple and the green cabbage here, and this is just going to take 2 minutes.
And just a little bit of water in the bottom, so I'm going to put the lid back on.
Yeah,
and
a little bit of salted water.
Steam it down, all right.
So we're going to give it a little pat here. All right.
And why do you dry it off?
I dry it off because it's a moist vegetable.
Okay.
It holds a lot of water in it, so we don't need that added water. So we're going to make sure
it's... It would make the gratin soupy.
It would make it soupy. So we are going to take our buttered casseroles that we've already buttered.
All right.
And we're going to put some cabbage in each one of them. This will be a little bit of a layered dish. And I've also got some pre-buttered, some of those buttery crackers that I've crushed up, and then I've shaved a little cold butter into it with a cheese grater, which is an awesome home tip. If you need some butter, we're gonna put a little crumbs in the middle.
And you could do this in a big casserole dish
or serve it family style. This is a perfect Thanksgiving side dish, Christmas side dish, casserole to take somewhere. You could switch out the cheese. We've got about 3 ounces of Gruyere here.
Nice.
But you could use cheddar, you could use American, you could use whatever your family really likes.
Wonderful.
So we're going to put another little layer of cabbage on top.
Some more.
Some cracker crumbs. Yep, some more of those good cracker crumbs. Now we've got a little custard built over here on the side.
What's in that?
That has got 3 eggs and 3 cups of half and half in it. And
nice.
That's a little savory custard, no sugar.
And obviously some seasonings in there as well.
Yeah, it's got a little salt and pepper in it as well.
All right, so simple.
Very simple seasoning, yes. Right. We'll start to pour a little bit of that on. I use that spoon for a little aerator to spread it around.
Okay. It's a nice little tip. Mm-hmm. And you put the Gruyere right on top?
Right on top.
Perfect. So now this goes in the oven. What temperature?
We've got our oven set at 400 degrees. We're going to bake it for about 15 minutes, and we'll check it at that.
All right, perfect.
All right.
This looks amazing.
That looks good. Now we're going to add a little salt and pepper to the top just for season.
Nice. All right, and these ramekins are super hot, so
they
if you're
going to
serve
hot.
Them right away, you need another plate or something underneath,
We do. We're
going
to set them on that plate, and I'm going to move this right over for you.
All right, wonderful. Alrighty, and I am dying to try this. Oh, this looks wonderful.
Looks
and all
so
the layers. That is so delicious. It's rich. The cabbage is mild, but that gives an opportunity for the Gruyere to really shine.
Mm-hmm. It's tender, but not mushy.
Yeah. Chef Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
The allure of raising their own food and the promise of fresh, delicious eggs has inspired many city dwellers to bring a piece of the country into their urban backyards.
All right, you ready? Let's go get eggs. Come on, Pepper.
I actually was really focused on trying to source my food locally as much as possible. And so I knew in Des Moines we could have chickens. And so I was like, you know, I really would like to do this.
Different towns have different rules concerning livestock, but a growing interest in raising chickens has many cities changing their laws to allow for a few hens.
I have approximately, I think it's 15 birds, and they're different breeds. I have two Buff Orpingtons, and then Chica here is a Americana, so she lays blue eggs. The others are all different breeds, a lot of heritage breeds because they're a little hardier and friendlier.
The nice thing about chickens is you can say, I want a bird that's friendly and lays, they're going to lay eggs. I want a bird that does well in winter. I want specifically a bird that lays pink eggs or blue eggs. And all that's available in poultry. This one here is a Brahma. So Brahmas are typically an Asian species. They've got feathered feet. They're large, very friendly, docile birds. A lot of people that just want eggs go for your traditional layers, like a Rhode Island Red, a White Leghorn, something of that nature.
Like fresh tomatoes and bread right out of the oven, many people think fresh eggs just taste better. Depending on the breed, a mature hen can lay up to 6 eggs a week.
All the chickens lay different colored eggs, and you'll notice they're dirty. I don't clean off my eggs very much. I just brush the worst of it off, and that keeps the bloom on them, which helps them last longer. I feed them a pellet crumble or a pellet food that I get from the local feed store. And then they get a lot of our food waste. So we put it in a bucket and bring it out for them. And that just helps stretch out their food as well, reduces waste in the house. And then when I let them out, they eat a lot of bugs. I kind of made my own waters. They have these little cups that they put their beak in, and it has a little nozzle that they bump and it lets the water out, so that reduces the amount of waste and it reduces the amount of dirt and buildup in the water, so it keeps it healthier for them.
A chicken's coop can be as simple or as elaborate as you want it to be. They like to have a place to roost and a dark, quiet space to lay eggs. Chickens also need protection from predators and the weather.
Whenever you make a coop, you definitely want to protect your birds. Chicken wire can be destroyed by raccoons, so typically your finer wire is best. You want to make sure your coop can't be dug under and that it's got something over the top to prevent hawks from going in or owls as well.
These chicken owners find joy in having a pet that returns something to them in such a tangible way. It's no wonder that this hobby is catching on.
I think I always come back to chickens because they're just fascinating to watch. People don't realize how much of a personality they really have. So you can watch them interact. You can watch them find something new and be all excited about it, or just kind of find that treat and run away and hide with it. There's no downside to having chickens that I really discovered in my whole life.
It warms my heart when I see my daughter getting the chickens and loving them and chasing them around trying to catch them. And it's just fun.
That's it for this week's show. Thank you for joining us as we explore Iowa's farms, gardens, and backyards. I'm Charity Nebbe. See you next time for another episode of Iowa Ingredient.
Keep in mind that circumstances are always changing, so please take a moment to check ahead if you're planning to visit a restaurant, farm, or event featured on the show.
Funding for Iowa Ingredient is provided by the W.T. and Edna M. Dahl Trust, Chef Lisa LaValle of Trellis Cafe and the River Center, and Chef Michael LaValle of the Des Moines Embassy Club. For more than 100 years, the Des Moines Embassy Club has provided a place to dine, celebrate, and do business, located in downtown Des Moines and in West Des Moines. And the Friends of Iowa Public Television Foundation.